The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, how are you?
Kieran, I am well, thank you. It's been a very, very busy week.
I'm sure it has.
It's only Wednesday. We had our restrictions put on AstraZeneca, and obviously myself and the department and the task force and the HSC, we've been working flat out to try and reprofile the programme for AstraZeneca, at the same time get the port, the online registration launched tomorrow. Then we got the news yesterday on Janssen. Very disappointing, but hopefully a short-term issue.
Yeah.
And then we got really good news today on Pfizer. So it's been a bumpy week, a very busy week. But ultimately, where we're at right now is we're still on target. The program will be changing.
Okay.
We're reprofiling. We've done this before.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again before this is all over. But we're working hard to make sure we do the bit that we can do well, which is get the vaccines out as they come into the country.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I want to ask you about vaccines and rollout and how you deal with the logistics of moving things around on the back of the AstraZeneca news in just a moment. Let me ask about mandatory hotel quarantine first. Patrick Coveney, the CEO of Greencore, brother, of course, of your cabinet colleague, Simon Coveney, is calling it a shambles. Danny McCoy, the CEO of IBEC here in the last hour on this show, agreeing with him that it's a shambles. What's your reaction?
The purpose of mandatory hotel quarantine is to protect the people living in Ireland from variants of concern. And what we've seen since we brought it in is a very big reduction in flights from countries where there are variants of concern. And for those people who are coming in, there is now a very, very rigorous biosecurity system in place. We're leading Europe by quite a long way now in terms of the international travel measures we have in place. So I don't apologise to anyone for putting in place measures that are designed to keep the people living in Ireland safe from variants of concern. Now, that said, obviously, it is a big imposition, not just for the business community, but we've heard some really heartbreaking stories of people coming back with sick relatives. And we're looking at all of that as well. But ultimately, this is a public health measure. It's a very strong public health measure, and it's there to deal with variants of concerns. And from that perspective, it is working. Doesn't mean there won't be changes. Doesn't mean we've got it all right. But it is doing its primary job.
But why have we made these mistakes, given how long we had to bring this in? I mean, Neffet made a recommendation about mandatory hotel quarantine 12 months ago. Now, the government, there was a lot of accusations that you and your cabinet colleagues were very slow to bring it in. And then when we bring it in, there's all these kinks that are still in the system. You know, we heard from someone on the show earlier who is vaccinated and is going to be essentially locked up in a hotel when he comes back, despite being vaccinated and having a negative PCR test. Now, I know you and others have said, look, that's something that's going to have to be looked at, of course. Why wasn't it looked at before the quarantine came in?
Because our knowledge and the science is constantly evolving. You know, I talked to
my... I knew if someone was vaccinated, there was hardly much sense in locking them up.
Well, remember, the mandatory hotel quarantine is not in place to protect the person coming into the country. It's there to protect everybody else from the risk that that person could have. So we are only now, and by we, I mean the medics and the scientists, are only now looking at sufficient amounts of data in terms of the vaccinations to say, you know what, there is a material impact on transmission. So the fact that the person themselves is protected from COVID is irrelevant. What hotel quarantine is there for is to protect everybody else from the risk that they can transmit a variant of concern. So even now, Kieran, we're still looking at emerging data on the impact of transmissibility that the vaccines have on the variants. So the information is still coming in. Nonetheless, we had a very constructive conversation at Cabinet on it today.
Yeah.
There was a decision last Friday for me to take it away and look at it. The Chief Medical Officer, Deputy Chief Medical Officer, and I have had a long conversation post-Cabinet on that. And we are looking at it, and we are looking at a way to be able to verify that people who are fully vaccinated can move to home quarantine rather than hotel quarantine.
What legal advice are you getting on how robust the system is going to be to legal challenge. Declan Walsh is the Vice Dean for Internationalization in UCC. He's an EU law academic, a former lecturer of mine when I was down there, actually. And he suggested that you're likely to lose a court challenge taken by an EU citizen travelling from an EU country, and that the quarantine system will have to end for travel from other EU states after the digital green certificate regulation is adopted in June. In other words, this is a time limit on this, and by June you'll have to unwind it.
What I would say to that is, regardless of the legal situation, I'm not a lawyer, and obviously I take my advice from the Attorney General, but what my position is, once that EU digital green certificate comes in, we don't want mandatory hotel quarantine for people within the EU, right? So what we want is we want an internationally verified vaccination, is, you know, a QR code on your phone or whatever it is. We're working as part of the EU system on that. What I want is us to move as quickly as possible to an international travel situation whereby you've got your unique identifier. Critically, it's recognised across the EU, ideally in the UK, ideally in as many countries as possible, and that you can travel freely.
But if people don't get vaccinated?
That's a different situation. So if they don't get vaccinated, the public health benefits in terms of reducing your risk to other people isn't there. So that's something that would need to be looked at. But certainly the public health thinking is now very clearly on the benefits of being vaccinated.
What about the failure to plan for the required capacity at mandatory hotel quarantine level? Like that seems just like a failure of modelling within your own department.
So what we have is we started with 654 rooms, which was more than enough for the original 33 countries. About a week before the government made its decision to add a significant number of other countries, I instructed the department to work to increase capacity. Now, as you can imagine, increasing capacity for a complex system of hotel quarantine can't be done in one day. You need the hotels, the defence forces are involved, border management, the Gardaí, the HSE. There's a lot of moving parts. So it's a 2-week process. So a week ahead of the government decision, I said, look, let's double the capacity. And that's what we're doing. Actually, the issue is not the capacity. We have enough rooms to deal with people coming in on the flights where they have verification. The problem actually, and it's only for a few days, is that there are a number of airlines which have not been enforcing the legal requirement to not let people board the plane without the pre-flight PCR, the passenger locator form, and the verified room. So for a few days, we have said...
Is that a strict legal requirement of airlines? Are airlines breaking the law if they don't do that? And what law are they breaking?
They are, yeah. They're breaking an SI on public health grounds. They are. So I know Minister Ryan is engaged very closely with the carriers. So remember as well, you know, again, the purpose of this is not to facilitate anyone who wants to travel on any day they want to travel. Mm. Obviously, that's something you would like in your system. The purpose of this is to act as a barrier to variants of concern coming in. Now, to put it in context, people in Ireland a lot of the time look at the Australian model, the New Zealand model. In Australia or New Zealand, you'll wait 3 or 4 months to get your hotel room. All we're doing is saying for a few days over the weekend, you just need to wait till Monday or Tuesday of the next week.
Yeah, but I suppose we could have anticipated this, though. There was always likelihood that other countries were going to be added to the list. We always knew it.
We did anticipate it, yeah. And what we did,
but just not quickly enough.
No, we did anticipate it. And if we weren't dealing with all of these walk-ins from the airlines, we would have enough capacity. And then on Monday, we're moving from 650 to about 960. What we didn't anticipate is the number of walk-ins arriving who have to be accommodated.
The number of COVID cases globally is on the way up. The figures are good here, but when you look at the global figures, they're shooting upwards again. So in all likelihood, more countries could be added to that list. I mean, have you already started the process of expanding capacity again, or are we going to be back in this situation?
Yeah, we have. So we're at 654 today.
Yeah.
On Monday, we're moving to about 960. The following Monday, we're moving to in excess of 1,300.
Okay, so 1,300, and will we have to go beyond that again, or is the expectation that will be enough?
Look, we'll keep that under review, but remember the system is only 19 days old, and in we started with 33 countries. In less than 2 weeks, we went up from 33 countries to 71 countries, but probably even more important, that additional group included very big countries for Ireland, America, Canada, Italy, France. So there was a very big increase in a very short period of time.
Before we move on from this then, just in terms of those hard cases, as you mentioned, you know, people may be coming home for personal reasons, family reasons, somebody has died, somebody coming home for medical treatment, whatever it happens to be, when can we, or people who are vaccinated, when can we expect an update?
Soon. I don't want to give false expectations, but soon. So the Chief Medical Officer and I are looking closely, and the department, we're looking very closely at the case of people who are fully vaccinated. Well, just leave it with me. I don't want to give any false expectation, but soon.
Yeah, but people maybe have hospital appointments in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they'd be wondering what's going to happen to them.
Well, if you have a hospital appointment, you can leave the country for medical reasons. But just leave it with us for a few days, and we'll be back with an answer.
All right. Listen, let's talk about vaccines then. As you said at the outset, the kind of good and bad news this week. Bad news about AstraZeneca. Good news in the last few hours about Pfizer. Where does it leave the vaccine rollout?
It leaves it in volume terms pretty much as we were before all of this happened. It does mean
assuming Johnson & Johnson doesn't have the plug pulled on it.
Yeah. No, that's assuming it does have the plug pulled on it. So if Johnson, if Janssen...
Do your maths there for me then.
So the number of Pfizer vaccines that we're going to get early...
Yeah, 545,000.
Right, in and around the same amount as Janssen.
Now, which is a single dose vaccine. So that 600,000 people can be vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson. 540, so 270,000 can be done with Pfizer. So you still have a hole.
Absolutely. So what?
That's 6% of the population fit into that hole. Significant enough.
Your maths is bang on, but remember, what we're trying to do is by the end of June, get 4 in 5 adults who want a vaccine their first dose.
Yeah.
Because what we're finding is that these vaccines are so effective that people are getting 80%, north of 80% protection on the first dose. So really the focus for the end of June is the first dose. So while you're absolutely right in terms of one dose versus two doses, for the first dose, the volumes remain the same. And the hope is, Kieran, that not only are we talking about the 545,000 Pfizer, but that the Johnson & Johnson vaccines are very much on the pitch. Remember, the European Medicines Agency has looked at the FDA data, and it hasn't made any decisions yet. But what it has said is there's been about 6.8 million vaccines in the US, six cases, and they haven't seen causality. So let's hope that our regulator, the EMA, looks very closely, as we know they will, and says this vaccine is safe for all ages. And then obviously we'll begin to move with Johnson & Johnson straight away.
Yeah, and Sean Kelly, the MEP, and Shona Murray, the Euronews correspondent, both indicated earlier, speaking to me, that is the mood music in Brussels, that Johnson & Johnson will get the thumbs up from the EMA. Of course, what someone might say to that is, did AstraZeneca not get the thumbs up from the EMA and we've restricted it to 60 plus here? A thumbs up from the EMA doesn't necessarily mean universal rollout in Ireland.
Or indeed anywhere. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, remember there have been several views expressed on AstraZeneca. We had a view in terms of the over 70s. Remember, we changed the program right at the start for mRNA vaccines for the over 70s. One of the characteristics of our vaccine program has been and has to remain agility. Now it's exhausting for the men and women who are staying up late at night reprofiling. But I was talking to Paul Reid this morning, and we were comparing notes. And by his reckoning, this is the 25th adjustment to the vaccine program. So you're absolutely right. Is it possible that we will get more information on Janssen, on CureVac, for example, which isn't in play yet? Mm. Yeah, it is. Is it possible we'll get additional information on Pfizer or Moderna? Absolutely it is, but we'll adjust accordingly. The key principle is safety always comes first.
Yeah.
And once we've got that issue nailed down, then the second principle is we move the program as quickly as possible.
One of the issues, though, that NIAC, the National Immunization Advisory Committee, looked at, and Karina Butler said this, is that when they were making their decision, they took into account that there were three other vaccines available in Ireland: Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, the Janssen vaccine. I mean, if Janssen has the plug pulled on it, that calculation becomes moot. That as a justification, because there were three other vaccines, suddenly there'll only be two other vaccines. Does that compel NIAC to go back and look at their advice around AstraZeneca?
They might do that. They look at it on a rolling basis. The broad point they were making was that there are other options available.
Yeah, so in other words, this wouldn't have a huge... It'd be a logistical nightmare for a few days when you rejig things, but ultimately we wouldn't have vaccines left on the shelf. They'd all get used. But, I mean, like she said, there was three vaccines there to cover the rest of the population. If you lose one of them, suddenly you might want that AstraZeneca to cover some of the rest of the population.
Well, first of all, we haven't lost one of them. Let's be clear. The EMA are looking, but the decision was taken not by the EMA, but by Johnson & Johnson. So we still will, hopefully, very, very quickly have three in play. And if we are down to two, obviously, Professor Butler and NIAC can look at exactly the point you're making.
Just to go back then to a point you made, which was about the efficacy of some of the vaccines like Pfizer. After one dose of Pfizer, I think, is more effective than a single dose of Johnson & Johnson, which is, you know, look, there's different studies that have been done, but in a real world study in Israel, I think its effectiveness after a single dose was upwards of 80%, whereas Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson's around 70%. We're getting 2.6 million doses after today, the news today, of Pfizer in April, May and June. What is the advice in terms of dragging out the time period between the first and second jab? In other words, just giving one jab to 2.6 million people over the next 3 months.
We're looking at that right now. So Dr. Glynn and I were talking about that after Cabinet today. The question is, we're currently at 4 weeks, 4 week interval. What happens in terms of the program? And is there any scientific issues or concerns or considerations about moving from flat 4 weeks to 8 weeks or indeed to 12 weeks? We're looking at all of that right now. I think to your point on the effectiveness of the vaccines, it's just worth restating that they are all astoundingly effective.
Oh, no,
the results we're seeing, like I'll just give you one example. In our healthcare workers, many of whom have only had one dose, and that's been a combination of the mRNA vaccines and AstraZeneca, we have seen a 98% reduction in COVID cases amongst that group. In the nursing homes, last week was the first week we didn't have any cluster of cases. The efficacy, the benefit of all of these vaccines is just incredible.
Yeah. And you see the figures as well in Israel today. They effectively have no new COVID cases in the country. So vaccines work. We know that. So it is being looked at. When can we expect, much like the question on a hotel quarantine, when can we expect some sort of news on that front, on whether we might use all 2.6 million Pfizer as a single dose, on a single dose strategy?
We'll have news on that within the week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before Friday this week.
We're within a week.
Within a week.
That's within 2 days.
All right. Okay.
But quickly, right? Because we are very, very aware that we have to move the vaccine program as quickly as possible. And I know you were going to touch on it, but tomorrow is a big day. If I can just talk to that for 1 second. So tomorrow, the online registration system is opening and it's beginning 60 to 69 year olds. What the HSE are asking is that tomorrow, 69 year olds, the next day, 68, et cetera, just to spread out the opening. But essentially, people will go on, they'll register, they need their PPS number, their air code, a mobile number to register. They'll get verified registration. Then later they'll receive their appointment notice. The appointments for vaccines will follow from the middle to the end of next week. So it's really exciting because obviously we're all focused on the vaccine program and there have been bumps along the road. We all know that. I think tomorrow is a really important day because it's the first day that the program is now opening up to the general public. And this vaccine program, coupled with the fact that people have stuck so well to the public health measures, meaning we've now one of the lowest COVID rates. And yesterday we went below 200 in hospital.
Yeah.
This vaccine program together with that really is the path out of this. And so far, thanks to everyone sticking with this and to our amazing vaccination teams, the plan is working. So I just think tomorrow is kind of it's a milestone.
All right. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Minister, thanks a million for joining me here in studio on The Hard Show.